Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate, and join with us, and he is back, as always, our co-host, Tone. Also with us, as you can already hear, it's moderator AJ.
The boys are back in town.
What up, boys?
We are back. Full squad. I think we could date check this, but I think 6 weeks since last time we were all together, all recording together in the studio. We're back.
We're back.
No punishments today. No hot chips being eaten. But we do have a major this week. And along with that, I say we're going to throw it right to it. What's on tap, AJ? Oh. Oh, yeah, it's the button, and then it goes.
This is the first on tap with all three.
Cheers.
Yep.
Luck Changer members.
Cheers, my guys.
Very delicious. So, Tone, why don't you get us started? What's on tap?
So, my on tap, you might see this as a theme going forward for a minute, because we have a ton of leftover alcohol. It is White Claw. Black cherry.
Ooh. Okay, right on. I had quite a few of those at the wedding. AJ, what's on tap, bud?
We're over here sipping on a tall boy. We got some Bud Light black cherry seltzer.
Ooh, back-to-back black cherry. I'll go with a berry of sorts. I'm kind of running back from last weekend, and I got a Twisted Tea raspberry. Not as carbonated. I might have to switch over soon, but it is a nice little treat. We have ourselves some weather. It's pretty warm. It's going to be even hotter tomorrow. We played a little around the world. Tone brought a change of clothes, which was huge. It's hot. It's hot now. So expect that to go on for quite a while for the rest of summer.
Drinks.
Oh, yeah, we drink. Does that mean we have to drink when you press that?
I just feel like pressing it.
Oh, yeah. And hey, we got a new button. But other than that, what is on tap there, AJ?
All right. So we're going to be recapping our episode from last week. We had a wedding special. We ran some prop bets. We took some action on Antonio's big wedding. So we'll kind of recap our picks from last week. I think me and you both did pretty solid, honestly.
I was impressed.
We will be recapping the NBA Finals thus far. We are 5 games through. We're heading to game 6. And then we're going to be talking about the U.S. Open this week. We'll take a deep dive into golf. Maybe we'll talk a little bit live, see what you guys think about that. We have the third major. We're going to do some power rankings, placement picks, DKs, all that good stuff. So we got a lot to talk about today.
Big golf week here. Like you said, the third major. No Tiger, unfortunately, but it's going to be well worth the watch. So how do you want to start this, AJ? You want to just rip right into our guy Tone's wedding?
Yeah, let's jump back to last weekend because it was a really awesome weekend for everyone, but especially our guy Tone and his wife, Alyssa, which sounds really cool to say.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just a huge shout out from the LCP family to the Williams family. Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
It was a beautiful day, beautiful venue. We absolutely crushed the luck it in on the weather. Beautiful weather.
Won a lot of money.
Nate, as far as like for you, it was great seeing you. You were back. You're feeling back to 100%. You crushed the overs on the drinks, which we knew you were going to. But tell me, from your point of view, any favorite parts of the wedding, anything that you really enjoyed or something that stood out for you?
I mean, just the night, the day in general, all throughout, it was unbelievable between Alyssa's vows and Antonio's speech right after dinner. Just to the party and hanging out with everybody after, the venue was unbelievably beautiful. Shout out Brian. Everything is basically handmade that he has back there. He made a pavilion out of trees, people. That is, I mean, it's unheard of. So if you haven't been there yet, it's a spectacle to see. It's it's gorgeous. But overall, the night, hanging out with the homies, one of my favorite parts was AJ grabbing the mic, and we started singing Friends in Low Places.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That
was,
and he tried to give me the mic, and I only knew the part where he says, in low places. So
you killed.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was just a really fun night and a very emotional night. I got teary-eyed twice, but Tone, congratulations again, buddy. That was the party of the year.
Appreciate that.
For sure.
Yeah, honestly, it was a dream come true. I never even thought about what I wanted my wedding to be and look like and feel like, but that was it. It was fantastic. I felt a lot of love, done a lot of reflection, both me and Alyssa, the last few days, and just, you know, when we needed, I don't even know if need's the right word, but it's sometimes people say they feel a certain way about you, which is awesome. We say a lot of things, but people took action, did things. They were there for us. The bachelor party, the bachelorette party, the bridal party, everything. You guys were there for us when we need you most, and it was just so special. The best part of the day for me, and I got emotional two times. Well, to start, I was emotional all day. But seeing Alyssa in her dress for the first time, she just looked perfect, and I knew she was right there in the woods waiting for her to come out. And
right,
I just immediately I couldn't help but shed a tear. I tried.
Shout out Chance.
Chance caught it.
Yep.
Very candid photo.
4K.
That was also the that was also the lock of the week. So,
lock of the week. Also seeing my son Dominic in his tux.
Yeah.
For the first time, I was really emotional. It was just really cool. So a lot of love, a lot of emotions, and couldn't be more blessed. And I love all of our friends and family, everyone that made that day special for us. Because there was a lot of people.
What was your favorite part, AJ?
Oh man, there was. Honestly, like, hopefully this doesn't sound like selfish or anything, but like, I know like the last 2-3 days, even though I like kind of messed some shit up, ran some shit over the lawnmower, I felt like I was out there quite a bit, like to the point where the day of I was just like kind of whooped. So like to sit there at the table, and it was like right before we ate, but we were just kind of sitting there after the photos, and just to kind of like look and see it all in motion, set up, people enjoying themselves. I don't know. It was really cool to like see everyone's hard work, because it wasn't just me. You know, it was shout out to Aunt Lynn, Uncle Bill, Brian, Chris, Ruthie, hella more people than that. Honestly, just a shout out to a lot of people. The Bachelor Boys. Shout out to our guy AJ at Kodak Cuts, getting us cleaned.
Definitely
up.
Shout out AJ at Solo.
Oh, okay,
yeah, hooked us up, took care of my guy. I mean, just there was so much that led up to it, and it was just cool to like sit there in the moment kind of on my own and just see you and Alyssa doing your thing, conversating and stuff. It was cool.
So kind of taking it all in.
Yeah, just taking it all in.
It
I think
awesome.
Also after the DJ left, he like left us a little speaker, and we just kind of kept turning up, which was probably my favorite part, honestly.
Yeah, in the night singing with our shades on. just a lot of vibes, a lot of love.
Yeah.
Our guy Scotty, real quick, with the dance moves. I think that was unbelievable to watch.
Phil on the karaoke. Just a really good time. I feel like I made some new friends, which was really awesome. Yeah. I appreciated that. So, yeah, it was a great, great wedding. Good times. Really happy for you guys.
If you want to catch the Bachelor Boys, we'll be at the Akron Rubber Duck Stadium next Thursday, Hawaiian night. If you forget your Hawaiian shirt, we're going to act like we don't know you. So make sure you wear that.
Definitely. So it was a great time. A lot of good people, a lot of good memories. But we had a prop bet recap from last week. And Tone, Nate, I don't know how much we want to run through this. I don't know if we're going to go through like verbatim. But ultimately, we both did pretty solid. I think I had 12, you had 13.
Yeah, but minus the ones you
had to
weren't
sit out two
with.
Of them.
Yep.
So I mean, I would call it a draw if I could. I think that's pretty fair. Was there any prop bets on your end that like stood out to you? Something that surprised you or caught you off guard?
Oh yeah, I think you're setting this up really nicely. Our guy AJ made sure to go ahead. He had a speech, of course, as a best man. He got up, and the first thing he did, took his jacket off. I just felt like he looked me dead into my soul, took it off. And if you were there and you knew about the episode, then you knew how big that was at stake there for him to take his jacket off. Just such a small little gesture. And I'm sure, like, I want to say maybe the other half of the people there were like, what is Nate worried about?
Yeah.
Because I let out a yelp a little bit. I was like, oh, no. So that stood out to me. And I feel like you 9.5, you just drinks for me. That was.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
you
I told him that should at least be 13.
Oh, yeah, at least.
You were coming off the DL. I wasn't sure.
That's very true. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I almost tripled that 9.5 that night. So.
Easy money.
Easy.
I said, if you parlayed me crying with your over,
oh yeah,
big money.
That RT sports book. I mean, it's got a lawsuit already.
Yeah.
It's got smacked. I mean,
not looking good.
The hot dogs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I love the influence that you had with the bolo tie.
That was cool.
That was
yeah.
cool.
If you don't know, we had that little bet, standard tie or bow tie. I had happened to say other because I know my guy Phil Listen, overnighted a bolo tie for a wedding that he was officiating.
That was pretty awesome.
And it looked great.
Fantastic.
I couldn't imagine wearing anything else.
Yeah. Also, shout out to our guy Phil. He killed being the officiant.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Great speech to open up. And that was great. He did a great job. So, yeah, Tone, as far as like sitting back when you listen from home, were there any like prop bets that you really enjoyed or anything that you kind of thought was maybe you thought otherwise? I mean, what were you thinking?
I love the whole episode. It was just fun to sit back, listen to you guys banter back and forth about different results. And I loved how a lot of people that don't normally listen to the show came through, listened. They were talking about it. We have aunts, uncles, cousins, family members talking about, oh, I knew Nate was going to go over. I knew you were going to cry. Like, It was very cool. So I don't know if I have one that sticks out, you know, necessarily. Just a couple I knew were locks. Like,
yeah.
I knew I was going to cry. I knew Nate was going to go
sure.
over.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it was going to start after 4 just because,
you know,
it's tough. I knew the weather was going to be perfect.
Perfect.
So there's a couple I knew, but I loved it overall. It's a very cool episode, very unique, and just an overall good time.
Yeah, we'll do it again next time when our guy Nate's up to bat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'd love to.
There was one.
This is 40.
There was one thing I feel like we kind of got robbed on. It was the number of clinks on the glass. Because we didn't really. We had the plastic.
That's true.
With the plastic cups. I feel like I tried a couple times and it just didn't resonate. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to.
I think we heard 2 clinks.
Yes.
It was like right collectively.
After.
Yeah.
Like a whole group of people were like, ugh.
Yeah, there was like candles on the table that were made of glass. And I think Todd found something else that was made of glass. And he was breaking silverware. Todd was fun.
Very nice.
Shout out Todd. Shout out to Bachelor Boys.
Yeah, shout out to Todd. He's up next, so that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Well, theoretically, it's either him or Phil.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so really good time. Enjoyed the wedding, enjoyed the episode last week. It was probably one of my favorite shows we've ever done. It's a really good time. So,
I agree.
Before moving on and getting back to sports, more so for Tone than anything, any final words before we move on regarding your big day, the wedding, the prop bet special, anything else you guys got to say?
You know, people really exemplified and showed how they felt about me and Alyssa as a couple, as a family, and it wasn't just the wedding day. It was the whole entire process.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until after the wedding I could really fully reflect and understand how fantastic and perfect everything was. So shout out our friends and family. I don't think we've ever felt more love before. And it's awesome to know that it's reciprocal because that's how we feel about all of our friends and family. So just shout out everyone. And we're blessed. We're lucky. And it was the best day of my life. The most important day of my life, I should preface that, is Dominic being born.
Yeah.
But that was stressful. It was COVID. No one else could be there.
Right, right.
My wedding was the best day of my life.
Celebration.
It was a celebration. It was awesome. So yeah. we're just blessed and lucky. So thank everyone.
Yeah, we love you, my guy.
Yep.
Love
yep,
you too.
For sure. All right, so let's go ahead and jump over to the NBA Finals. We had a game last night, and Golden State took the lead. They're leading 3-2. And the series is going to be heading back to Boston for Game 6. Before we head into Game 6 predictions and series predictions, Nate, has there been anything in this series, this could be a player, a game, a scenario, anything at all that's really surprised you, caught you off guard, or anything that's like stood out to you thus far?
I think Andrew Wiggins' play throughout this series.
Yes.
I know a lot of people were doubting him after the All-Star break. He started in the All-Star game, and people were getting down on him, but I felt like he was the main reason they won last night.
He looked like a number one overall pick last night.
Yeah, he looked great.
Solid.
Jason Tatum, I don't know if you guys have heard, he now has the most turnovers in postseason history.
Oh.
Like in a single postseason, turnovers. So that was that. Jaylen Brown, I feel like he's been playing really well. Al Horford really fell apart for me. I was counting my dollars before they hatched.
Shout out on that pick, though, after that first game.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a nice little ride. But, yeah, other than that, I feel like this does end up going to 7. I know you're going to ask that later. So okay. It's just I just wish they didn't put it on so late. As you guys know, we're on the East Coast, Northeast Ohio, so it's hard for us to stay up and watch that whole game because typically they play – I mean, we work the next day. The way the schedule has kind of worked out, so
yeah.
Very, very unfortunate, but that's the fucking way she goes.
Yeah, for me, it's one thing that really stood out happened last night. Steph Curry, zero three-pointers made.
The streak's over.
233 games?
Yeah, it's been years since that's happened.
Yeah.
But that was surprising, the fact that they still won.
Yep.
Maybe even more surprising. So I know a lot of people, including myself, including moderator AJ, hammered Boston last night.
I crushed it.
It just felt like the right move, and it wasn't. So you just never know what's going to happen. Yeah. But for me, that says a lot. So we'll see how the whole series plays out.
Yeah, we saw two streaks come to an end last night. We saw Steph's three-point, and Boston was undefeated after a loss in the playoffs.
Okay.
So, I mean, I felt really good about it. It started off slow, then they took the lead, and I knew from there Boston was going to finish out with the dub. And then Poole hit that buzzer beater three.
Oh, yeah.
And I just felt like it was over after that. Golden State kind of just ran with it. So
what was it? They scored 5 points in the first 8 minutes of that fourth quarter.
It was rough.
Unreal.
It was rough. So 5 games in thus far, has this been a series that you two have enjoyed, or is this a series that you guys could care less about?
I think just going back to what Nate said, it's just hard to stay up and watch it. And the games haven't been good enough to be like, last night was at least close for most of it. A lot of these games haven't been good enough to be like, I got to stay up an extra hour to finish this. So,
no.
I'm not saying I haven't enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed following it, but watching it, it's fine.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I'll just add one more thing. If my guy LeBron was in the finals, I would make the extra effort to stay up and watch. But other than that, I know AJ's not a big LeBron guy, so I had to throw him in there. So, it's not like the Cavs are in it, the Sixers aren't in it. So I don't have someone I'm rooting for. I don't hate the Warriors. I didn't like them when Kevin Durant was there, but it's just I just don't care for either team.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really. I purposely have been putting money on all these games because if I don't, then I just
won't watch.
I'm going to bed.
Right.
I hate the 9 o'clock time, and I understand why we do it. It's the West Coast, or 3 hours behind. There's got to be a middle ground. There's got to be. Even 8 o'clock still sucks, but 8 o'clock I can make work.
Or if they could even put in like a Sunday 3 o'clock game, like an afternoon game, I think would be pretty cool.
I was waiting for that the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe like never. A Sunday at 4.
Sure.
That's 1 o'clock for them. That's cool.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah,
money.
9 o'clock's rough, dude. I'm not a fan. But so we have game 6. It's going to be at TD Garden in Boston, Thursday the 16th at 9 p.m. So I'll go ahead and give you guys the line real quick. So we have Golden State. They are plus 3.5 points. They are plus 145 on the money line. At Boston, over-under is 210. So, Nate, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. I'm getting into game 6. What play on this line do you like the most?
I actually like the under a lot. It's a winner-go-home game for Boston. I can imagine them stiffening up on defense more. I can't imagine the Warriors scoring over 100 points. Maybe Boston does it. I don't know if I like that 3.5. I think we could have a good game on our hands this weekend. When is it? When they've been stretching
Thursday.
Them out. Yeah.
Yep.
How convenient. Thursday, not even a Friday. But no, I like that under. It seems like almost every one of these games has gone under, has it not? Or am I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, big under series.
Yeah, I think this kind of continues trend and stays under.
Yeah, I don't hate that pick at all. Like I said, it's been a big under series. If I had to take something besides that, I would take Boston, -3.5. I think this is going to go 7 games, and the spread hasn't been a factor in any of these games, so I will take them -3.5, but I also like the under.
Okay.
I do like Boston -3.5.
All right, so we have the under 210. We like Boston -3.5, so it sounds like you guys are both leaning towards a Game 7 series. So thus far, Five games through the series price, we have Golden State. They are -350. Boston is +275. Now keep this in mind. Game six will be in Boston. Game seven will be back in Golden State. So with all that being said, as far as the series itself goes, Tone, I'll start with you on this one. How do you see the series playing out? Does Golden State wrap it up in seven? Do you see Boston winning two in a row? What are you thinking?
I definitely think it's going seven games. And because of that, if I had to take a bet on the series price today, I'm taking Boston +275 for the value.
Okay.
And then I might come back after this game, assuming they win, and then take maybe the other side or double down. I don't know what it's going to look like, but for me, there's a lot of value there that you could play it different ways. Maybe I take Boston +275.
Boston.
And I take Warriors on the money line in game seven, so I win either way.
A little hedge.
You can hedge it. So for that reason, I would take Boston +275. Not saying they'll win it, though.
Okay.
But I think it will go seven.
I honestly could not have said any of that better myself. That's exactly what I was going to say. With that value at +275, I can imagine they almost need this game to go to game seven, because I can't imagine the ratings have been that great for this finals. But I could maybe a game seven, it could pull some audience just for the fact that it's game seven, one more game. But I do like that little hedge bet if you take the Warriors money line the next game.
Okay. All right. So we like Boston to win game six. We feel like it's going to go to game seven. And then from there, we'll kind of see what the line looks like after that. Okay. That's fair enough. all right. Well, we like the under 210, Boston -3.5, and we'll see how it plays out from there. All right. So we're going to switch gears here. We're going to talk about golf. We have a big major coming up. But before we get to the U.S. Open, it's hard not to talk about the LIV Golf Invitational that started last weekend. So they kicked off last week. It started an 80-event stretch that's going to rival the PGA Tour. And, Nate, man, you kind of talked about it for a tiny bit last week, but we've actually seen some familiar names jump ship. We've had Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Louis Oosthuizen, Kevin Na, our guy Gooch. I hated to see that. RIP to our guy Gooch. My guy Sergio went over there, which was really disappointing. And then two guys that we really just don't fuck with, Bryson,
Facts.
Patrick Reed. So I was really pumped to see them go. Yeah, they can go. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Ricky Fowler has been
a
name kind of associated with it.
Yeah. So, you know, here on the show, we've really established like our own favorite golfers at this point. You know, we all love Tiger. He's not going anywhere. We know that. But Tone, big Cam guy, loves Cam.
Cam Smith.
I'm a big Tony guy. Nate, you got too many favorite golfers to count.
Victor,
but,
Mito.
No, Victor, Morikawa, JT,
yep.
Schauffele. I also really like Sam Burns. So it's like a top five.
So I just want to know, like, how heartbroken are you guys going to be? How upset are if you see any of our LCP golfers switch over?
I'll let you take that one first.
I mean, it's clear. I'd be sick. I'd be sick if Cam sold his soul and just took the money. He doesn't need to. He's too talented.
That's how it feels. It feels like they're selling their soul.
They are.
It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So I'd be sick about it.
What I'm kind of seeing is, so, yeah, it would be a travesty, because obviously you want to see these guys play on the biggest platform
right. With
the best talent. But what I'm starting to see is I'm noticing a trend with these guys who are transferring to that LIV. You got guys like Dustin Johnson. Hasn't done anything really this year or last year.
Yeah.
Louis Oosthuizen, who's been awful so far this season. Bryson DeChambeau hasn't even really played. He's hurt. So why not for him to take a contract?
There's no way he can make $100 million on the tour with his performance.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, Patrick Reed.
I don't blame him.
He's had one good week. It was like a couple weeks ago. Other than that, trash. Like, all these guys are... I think they're chalking it up. Like, maybe they can't win on tour. You're looking at these... Young, even the rookie class this year is stacked. Davis Riley, Cameron.
Young.
Yeah, Cameron Young.
Mito.
It is. And then you're looking at still Morikawa, Hovland, Cam Smith still. These guys are young.
Scotty Scheffler,
the best in the world.
They're filthy, yeah.
And they're still young. And even like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, they're still young.
Yeah.
So I think these guys are noticing like, man, we might not have this place anymore. I mean, Bryson's probably the best chance out of all of them because he's still kind of young, but the way he swings and trains, he has no longevity to his career, and it's already showing this year. We were talking about it a lot last year too. Just what he does with his body and his swing, it's not going to last. So, and Phil Mickelson, not a big Phil guy anymore. I really enjoyed his personality.
Yeah.
I liked watching him on the Capital Ones, the matches. It was a fun little him, Tiger, Brady. It was fun. But now you're kind of seeing a different side to these guys. So I'm not a huge fan of the whole Liv thing.
Yeah. No, Phil, I write him off as soon as they go.
Yeah,
Phil
I'm not even going to watch.
Way. Yeah. Everyone else, I don't care. Like, whatever, that's cool. Get your money up, whatever, that's fine. But Phil, man, he's like one of the, I don't want to say he's a GOAT, but he's like one of the beloved golfers of all time. Like, he's got a huge following, huge base. So to see him do it, that really hurt. That was really disappointing. The rest of the guys, fuck them. I don't really care.
Honestly, I really hated to see DJ do it.
I did like DJ.
Just his presence in the interview. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just said, I could quit playing golf and be low the rest of my life, essentially. Not word for word, but
yeah,
it's just sick. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That.
I honestly hate to see it. I know it's inevitable that other players are going to make the jump.
Yeah.
Because if you look at this last week, the top four players in the PGA Tour made less than the winner in the LIV tournament. So
yeah,
I don't think money's everything. It's dirty money. There's no prestigious, respectable values about it. And like these players have been saying, such as Rory, John Rahm, etc., it doesn't mean anything when you're winning tournaments over there.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything when you don't have a cut line and it's a shotgun start. Like, it's a different vibe. It's not what the game was intended to do. And I think the money is just getting the best of certain of these players. But like you said, I don't blame them because they're most likely never going to be able to make that to compete in the PGA Tour. So
for sure.
Yeah. And if you had mentioned before we started recording, you just mentioned him again, John Rahm. If you want to know kind of how we feel about this whole thing, just look up his interview. He nailed it. Yeah. Like Tona mentioned, money's not everything. So you're kind of starting to see, you don't really get to see the personality side very much on these guys. You'll see them get temper tantrums here and there, but I think we all get mad at golf. It's a frustrating sport, but now you're kind of seeing how they are off the course. They're all about money, which, I mean, yeah, money's cool. You need money, but I like seeing these other guys who want to come out and compete. They're talking about legacy and history. And I think that just means so much more. I guess since we're not the ones making millions and trillions of dollars, it's kind of hard for us to judge. But us as being level-headed human beings, you can clearly see that these guys are in it for the wrong reason. So good riddance, have fun, make all your money you want, and I guess use your dollars as tissues as you cry by yourself. Sorry. Yeah. No, that was a lot.
So kind of before we move over, like, I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you feel like this is something that's going to flame out in the same way that, say, XFL did? Or do you think that this is here to stay? Do you think we're going to see more people make the switch? And is this going to be something that will rival PGA in the future?
I would like to see it fizzle out. I don't think it will, just because of how much money that is coming through that. I think it continues to go on, but I can't imagine the ratings are even close to being good.
Are they? Is it even on TV?
It's on
YouTube TV, I believe. Yeah,
and then if you go on their website, you could watch it. I think I watched like two holes. I'm like, this, like, their thing is, oh, we got 54 cameras. We mean 54. If you shoot a 54, you win $54 million. And they keep like their big niche, I think, was, oh, we have a microphone in the cups, so you can hear it as you put it in. I'm like, well, what does that do? What I just don't. It's like you can hear like the cup drop.
So it's like real. It's almost like kidsy. It's like frat bro kind
of
stuff.
It's like when Nickelodeon has an NFL game.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of how it sounds. I didn't get to see it, so I don't know. But okay.
The whole team aspect, I don't even care for it. I just I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's inevitable that people make the switch because of the money, but I don't know. I think it might last a little longer than the XFL. I don't know if it'll ever be up to the standard that the PGA is.
So have you guys got a chance to check out the team names and team logos?
Logos. I just know one team is really good, and then Kevin Na's team is an absolute joke.
So I actually was thinking, with the money back in this league, like, it's probably going to be here to stay, unfortunately. But then I'm looking at these logos, and it's just like, man, they're
Very basic.
You know what it reminds me of is when we did that, when we did The Bench, and like all those shows had like their little logos and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's as bad as The Bench logos. Like
looked
they're
awful.
Really bad.
Yeah, shout out to The Bench. If you guys don't remember The Bench, then you're just like everyone else in the world.
Yeah, it's equal to that. So I don't know. I'm not sure if it's here to stay or not. I kind of hope it falls off, but I guess we'll see.
I guess at this point, unless some guys that I really like and care for move over, I mean, they can go as long as they want. I don't care to see guys like Bryson or Patrick come back.
Yeah.
Kevin Na. I mean, I don't care.
So to kind of transition from LIV to the U.S. Open, we were talking about this before we went on air. So with majors, so people who go over will not be allowed to play in PGA
Events,
but right. They are allowed to do majors. So all those names that we mentioned, they will be playing in the U.S. Open.
What a shame.
Yeah, so we have the third major of the PGA season coming up. It's at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. Defending champ is John Rahm. So we are two majors to go, one of which is starting this weekend. Before we really jump to placement picks, DKs, and all that good stuff, I wanted to do like a midpoint power rankings for Nate and Tone. So obviously this is opinion based. It's just for fun. But Tone, I'm going to start with you first, and we're going to start off with your number 5 power ranking, and we'll climb to who you feel is your number 1 power ranking. So we'll kind of go back and forth. We'll start 5, then you'll pick it up. So
I like it.
Let me go ahead and jump over to our guy Tone real quick. Before we talk about the U.S. Open, thus halfway through the PGA season, who would you say is your number 5 power ranking as far as golfers go?
I think this might be an answer that surprises you guys at this position. It's my Aussie, Cam Smith.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have him at number 5. It's I really feel like I could shake up the top 3, top 4, or you know, bottom 3, bottom 4. But for some reason, Cam is, his driver play has just been a little off lately, and he's top 5 golfer in the world, but I just didn't know where to put him, but I had to put him somewhere, so I'll take him at 5.
It feels like he's not getting the job done. He's there, but he's just not finishing strong. So
Like he was on a really impressive stretch to start the season, but
yeah.
It's fine. He's still one of the best golfers, so I'll take him number 5.
Yeah, so you'll take your favorite golfer at 5. I'll take mine favorite golfer at 5. And it's going to be Victor Hovland at number 5. This guy plays a ton of golf. He's played 17 events, missed one cut. He's got 7 top 10s and a win this season. I don't know if they really count it because he won over in Dubai. But I count it. He's still winning events. He's playing a lot of golf. At number 5, give me Victor Hovland.
Okay. At 4, I got to take John Rahm. So I'll take John Rahm at number 4. I do feel like he's kind of fell out-ish recently, but he's starting to get together. He's too good to leave out of the top 5 for me, so I'll take John at 4.
Okay, for my 4th, I'm going to take Tone's Aussie. Cam Smith is my number 4 golfer in the world right now. Yeah, he's had his somewhat struggles, but he's got the best hands on tour. If you see his play around the greens, it is beautiful. And not only that, once he gets his driver and iron game in, I don't see anyone better than him at the top of the game other than maybe Scottie Scheffler. So I think Cam Smith is my number 4 favorite, or not my 4 favorite golfer, but number 4 power rated golfer. He has missed 2 of his 13 cuts, which it's not the best, I mean, as good of odds or a percentage as the other guys that I have on, but with 2 wins and 6 top 10s, half of his events, he's going to be in the top 10.
He's good. With my 3rd guy, I'll take Rory.
Yeah,
he's really finding himself again. Mm-hmm. He has 8 top 10 finishes this year. I think 6 of those are top 5 or better. And he's playing really good golf. Obviously, he's coming off the win at the RBC, so it maybe is a little bit of recency bias. But even before that, he had a T18 at the Memorial, T8, T5, second place finish. He's playing good golf, and he's one of the best in the world, so I'll take him at number 3.
I think we're going to have the same top 3 because luck it in, give me Rory. I know you started to see it towards the end of last year, but before that and the year before, Rory just seemed like he was disappearing off the face of golf. But now this year, he is on a tear. Tone mentioned those eight top tens, he's got two wins already this year. Mm-hmm. Coming off another win, there's no reason he shouldn't be in your top three. So give me Rory at number three.
So number two, I'm sure you have the same, Justin Thomas.
Yep,
he has 10 top 10 finishes. Six of those are top five finishes. He's a fantastic golfer. Just one of the best in the world. He's really finding it, honing in this year. And I think he's – we'll get to that later in the show. But I'll take him as my second golfer in the world.
Could you imagine on the cuts you've made, you get in the top 10 67% of the time?
Yeah, that's wild.
That is insane. One of the best ball strikers on tour. He's rivaling Scotty up there for number one. And if JT gets another win, maybe two or a top five here in this major, I think he's going to make his way to the top spot. But, yeah, that is a luck it in. JT at number two.
And, obviously, number one, Scotty Scheffler.
Yep.
It's really been fantastic watching him progress. He has eight top tens, but three of those are wins. Three of those are...
I thought he had four wins. I could be mistaken. I got...
He has three wins.
Three.
Maybe it,
but he has three second-place finishes.
Yeah, and yeah. Maybe an unofficial win. I checked PGA Tour, and it's kind of like what Victor Hovland has. Yeah.
Right. He has... It's just ridiculous. So
it's crazy.
I do think at times... I don't know. I kind of went back and forth. Like I said, I could shuffle all these guys up in any given day, but I think he's the best... Best golfer in the world right now.
I know this. Listen, I am not comparing Scotty to anybody right now. I'm just saying those are Tiger Woods-esque numbers.
It's close.
When you have those runner-ups and wins, and I think those wins were in a stretch of 5 weeks. That is that's Tiger-like. Obviously, no one's going to be ever as good as Tiger. The amount of cuts he's made consistently is never going to be beat. No one's going to be better than Tiger, so... Don't get me twisted here, but I luck it in, obviously, Scotty Scheffler. And he's extremely fun to watch. Just his footwork and his swing is fascinating. So
yeah.
Another luck it in. I figured we'd have the same top three, but you had Jon Rahm. I had Victor Hovland. I have no arguments either way. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's a good list. Good list. All right, so let's go to our placement picks. Nate, I'm going to start with you. Let's start with our top 20 placement picks for the U.S. Open. Who do you like this week?
I actually like... A guy who's going on to his 21st start in Open, and that's Adam Scott. He's plus 333, so he's pretty down there as far as top 20s go. But he has missed eight of his 20 cuts that he's played in, but the three of them were his first three that he played in the early 2000s. So I don't write that off. The big thing for him is he's 80th in FedEx Cup points, and he's running out of time. So he needs a good finish if he's going to make the FedEx Cup playoff. At 80th, he's just 15 spots behind. So I expect Adam Scott to sneak into a top 20 this week. He's been there before.
Very nice. My guy is not quite as good at odds. I'll take Jordan Spieth, plus 135.
I like that.
He hasn't putted well this year, but the rest of his game has been fantastic. His last five starts, he has four top 20 finishes, including a first, a second, a seventh-place finish. His iron play, short game around the greens, give him an edge. If he can find that putter, I feel like he can compete to win, and I'll take plus 135 all day.
I love that. The way Jordan and Rory has been playing, it makes it feel like it's like 2016 again. It's funny. But for my top 10, it's my guy Victor Hovland. He's only played in two U.S. Opens, and he's got a T12 and a T13 in them. So I expect him to kind of notch his way up to the top 10. With the one missed cut he's had, he's adding seven top 10s. So he's going to, if he ends up making the cut, he could slip, but I can't imagine that happening with such a consistent player like himself. So I think Victor Hovland is an easy top 10 pick, and that's at plus 300.
All righty. I'm going to take a guy I took last week. It's hard to fade him. I just feel like he finished T10 last week.
Oh, Corey Connors?
He has six top 10 finishes in his last 10 starts before that. It's Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Oh.
Plus 260. He is second in strokes gained total. He was first for a long time. Rory passed him last week. Really good company. I just feel like his accuracy off the tee, his strong iron play will allow him to compete and to win this thing. So he actually won this course as an amateur back in 2013. He has some good course history here. Plus 260 top 10. I'll take him. Run it back. Matthew Fitzpatrick.
I did notice him amongst some of the bigger names. I know he's had a fantastic season this year, but I think that kind of stood out to me too. I love that take. So for my top five, I'm going to take a risky pick, and I understand the risk because he already has a withdrawal because of injury and a disqualification for painting his fucking 3-wood. That's really weird. But Hideki Matsuyama is plus 750 at a top five, which is crazy odds because he's played in 9 Opens, he's missed one cut, and has never finished worse than 35th. He's also has 2 top tens with it and a runner-up in 2017. So barring anything crazy happening, like I can't imagine what you can come up with this time. I think all that is in the past. He comes out and he plays, gets himself a top five.
I definitely like him a lot this week. I'm going to be a little more conservative, as I normally am.
Yeah.
I'll take Justin Thomas plus 300, top five. Again, he's one of the best golfers in the world, looking to win his second major this year. I know he's going to be hungry. Last week, they played some fantastic golf. I know that he ended up finishing T3rd last week because Tony had a birdie on the last hole, and then obviously Rory was doing his thing, but I don't see why there's any reason Justin couldn't continue his run. So he has, in his last 4 starts, 3 top 5 finishes. We'll see if he does it again. I'll take him plus 300.
Yeah, it was so fun up until that 17th hole where JT bogeyed and Rory birdied and took a 2-stroke lead going into 18, and then It seemed like the wheels came off the bus for JT, and he just kind of – and he bogeyed 18, I think, too. And that's when Finau snuck into that second – but I like Tony Finau. I haven't really been all over him this year, but, man, he played some fantastic golf, especially earlier in the tournament. Yeah, so going into placement picks, I am going to – I'm going to take a vet over someone who's actually been playing really good golf lately. I had him on my DraftKings and I think my top 20 – the last time me and you recorded, Tone, and I got Kevin Kisner. Kevin, this ain't a hobby Kisner, over Luke List, one of the hardest hitters on tour right now. So, and that's plus 125 odds. I love those odds. Luke List, tad younger, less experienced. So I think the Kiz comes out, and he does better than Luke List. I don't think List is going to make the cut this week, too. But that's not my miss a cup.
So I think I'm going to fade live golfers. I just can't rock with them. Yeah. I don't know if they have the motivation. They've been traveling
Fuck
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, they're going to get heckled all week. So my 1v1, I'm going to take Davis Riley plus 110 over Taylor Gooch.
Love Davis Riley, my guy.
He's a stud. I mean, this guy has been playing out of his mind. He finished 4th, 5th, 9th, 13th twice. He's a fantastic golfer. So I'll take him over Taylor Gooch. I'm getting plus odds. Easy money.
Oh, yeah. So I'm also going to fade the LIV Golf Tour for my miss a cut. And I'm going to take a guy who really hasn't done anything on tour. He's the team captain of his team over at the LIV Tour, and he did the worst, but this team ended up winning, and that's Louis Oosthuizen. He's plus 150 to miss the cut, and I think that absolutely hits.
I think that's a great pick. I'm going to go just out of slight anger. Because I'm done with these LIV guys, especially this guy. It's DJ, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Plus 180, miss a cut. I just feel like he has no real interest in being here. He's going to get heckled the whole week. Quite frankly, I hope he misses it. So I might be trying to just, you know, manifest this, but
okay.
I'll take Dustin Johnson plus 180.
I hope not a single LIV member makes the cut. Yeah, just get him out of there 2 days. Don't have
I
to
agree.
Look at him.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so that's going to be our placement picks. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show with our U.S. Open DraftKings rosters. Nate, I believe we have a little nothing too crazy. I think we're going to try to do a little punishment for whoever comes in last out of us three. What's that going to be?
Oh yeah. I did mention. So if you haven't seen the current trend, it's the Sprite No Burp Challenge. You have to drink a cold, crisp, spicy Sprite, 20-ounce, get it down without burping. If you haven't seen the videos, look at them. It looks absolutely miserable. I hope I don't lose because we're going to do this live on air. It's going to be really entertaining for the other two.
Right. How fast do you have to drink it?
I don't know if there's a time limit. It's just don't burp. Whatever strategy you have, I could be wrong. Maybe there is maybe like a 5-minute time limit. I think that would be. Do we want to do a time limit?
Yeah, I like that.
I feel like you could sip on it over the course of
that's
an hour
fair.
Or so. It's like probably not going to burp. But
yeah,
maybe,
so maybe like, let's, why don't we do
15, 10 minutes?
Okay. 5 or 10.
I like that.
Whatever you guys think.
Let's do five.
Yeah, I feel like
well,
five
that's a real challenge, yeah.
Yeah, no burping.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's going to hurt real bad, and we're probably going to have a silly burp on there. It's going to be hilarious. Maybe we'll make it a button. Who knows?
Okay.
AJ's good at stuff.
Cool. All right, so let's go to our DraftKings. I'm going to jump in on this one. So let's start with Nate. Go ahead and give us our top paid golfer, and we'll work our way through the horn.
So I've already mentioned this guy a couple times. I have him my fifth overall in my power rankings. I have him making the top 10, and I'm going to spend my $9,700 on Victor Hovland as my top golfer. I've already listed his credentials quite a few times. I don't really have much else to say, so give me Victor Hovland, 97.
So with my first guy, I'm going to take a guy that definitely could compete to win this thing. You know he's going to hit it long, hit it straight. He has a sneaky good short game. As long as he can putt, I know he'll be competing. He played well at the Charles Schwab PGA Championship. It's Xander Schauffele. 9.6K. I'll take him to lead my team.
I love the pick.
Love the pick. Love the leader. I'm going Xander as well. 9.6. He's going to be my top paid guy. So, yeah, let's go ahead and lock in Xander for our top
pick. Very interesting. So, for my next highest pick, I have a guy who I actually have going in the top five, and that's Hideki Matsuyama. He still plays a lot of golf despite being injured, despite
cheating.
Yeah, I guess if that's what it is. Yeah, he's missed two cuts. He's got six top tens. He's obviously going to be in the running to win this thing. At 9,100, I feel like my whole team's an absolute steal.
I really wanted to fit him in there, but we'll see. I'm hoping he bounces back after that DQ last week or a couple weeks ago. I'll take Shane Lowry, 9K. He's made the cut in six of his last seven U.S. Open starts. He's made the cut in his last 10 starts. So he's playing some of the best golf in his life right now. His last five starts, he's had three top 10 finishes. Two of those have been top three finishes. I think he can absolutely compete. I hate to run it back. I feel like I'm always taking him nowadays. His price is too good to pass up. I'll take Shane Lowry, 9K.
Hey, you've been getting him when he's hot, so yeah. I respect that.
All right, so for mine, I'm shifting back. I was going top heavy for a while. Wasn't working. I'm going back to the Father Tone blueprint on my DKs. I'm just going to stick around the average and just hope to make the cut. My top guy, Xander, I'm hoping wins. The rest, just be there Sunday. So I'm going Daniel Berger at 8.4 as my number two guy. Really like what he's bringing. I love 8.4 for our guy. So I'll go Berger at number two for me.
I almost put him in there as well. Good pick.
Yeah. I feel like any of these guys could just go out and win. So with my third golfer, I have someone who has a higher top 10 per cut percentage than Justin Thomas, but he has missed five cuts on the year. He's only 8,300, and he's one of the hottest golfers on tour. And it's another one of my guys, Sam Burns. Only 8,300. That's insane to me. Eight top 10s, 12 cuts made out of 17. What? I mean, if he makes the cut, he's going to make a top 10. I mean, that's just the odds. So give me Sam Burns.
Another fantastic pick. I'll take another guy that I was kind of off earlier in the season, but he's back. Top five Tony is back. Tony Finau. He has three top five finishes in his last five starts at 8.2. For him to be my fourth or third guy, I'll take him all day.
Love it. Love it. Love to see my guy Tony up there for you, brother. I'm going to go ahead and luck in Sam Burns for my three spot. Sam Burns, 8.3 for everything Nate just said. I love that price point. Can't beat 8.3. My number three guy. So go ahead and give me Sam Burns at three.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Chance. I was talking to him. We were talking about golf at the wedding, and we both have a mutual love for our guy Sam Burns.
Yeah.
So we also have a mutual love for this guy, and I think everybody who's a golf fan does. He's 8,100, but he's quietly one of the hottest golfers on tour right now with four top tens and only two missed cuts. Max Homa. All over Max Homa. I just kind of faded him. I didn't believe in the hot streak, but it's a real thing. So give me Max Homa, 8,100.
This guy, Homa, already has two wins, like Nate said, four top 10 finishes this season. He's made the cut 10 straight starts. Last month, he had a T13 at the PGA Championship, which was his first major. First major in which he finished better than 40th, that is.
Right.
But, he's improving every week. I just kind of like him. I like his presence on social media. Seems to be a stand-up guy. Solid we'll luck dude. That in. 8.1K.
Love okay. Max Homa.
Okay. So coming at my four spot, love to see it. Tony Finau, 8.2. He's my favorite golfer. He's been absolutely killing it. And I'm getting back on the train here. I haven't been taking him these last few times, but we're back. I'm riding him. Tony Finau, 8.2.
Right on. So for my fifth golfer, which I think is the biggest steal of this whole entire DraftKings, there's no reason he should only be 7,600. He's got six top tens, 15 out of the 17 he's made the cut. Sung Jae-im. I just remember last year he was one of those guys up to the 9,000s. So give me Sung Jae-im at 7,600.
Yeah, that's a good pick. With my fifth golfer, I'm going to take Mito Pereira, 7.8K. The kid's a steal at this price point. I think he'll continue his fantastic run, in which has included two top 10 finishes in his last three starts. He has five top 20 finishes in his last six starts. I'm excited to see what he'll do this week. In that 7K, I'll take that all day, 7.8.
All right, nice. That's a big tone guy. I like that. That's a good pick.
Mito Pereira.
For my fifth spot, I'm going to luck it in with you two. Max Homa at 8.1.
Wow, you have our whole
big
team almost.
Yeah. Really luck it in.
Yeah, I'm really riding that Father Tone blueprint. So to have Max Homa as my fifth guy at 8.1, I really like that. For everything you guys said, I really like Max. I'm a big Max guy, and I think he's going to have a good weekend. So Max at 5, I like it.
Well, right on. So for my last pick, I actually have my top 20 pick. And at only 7,200, I have Adam Scott. He's got double the top 10s that he has cuts missed. So give me Adam Scott, 7,200.
Very nice. With my last golfer, which, again, I feel like this is an absolute steal, I'll take Davis Riley.
Yeah.
7.3K. I mentioned this earlier. He's a young stud. Ton of motivation. His finishes lately have been fantastic. He has a T13 at the Memorial, a T4 at Charles Schwab, T13 PGA Championship, multiple top 10 finishes, and there's a few starts before that. Just playing fantastic. 7.3 is a steal to me. I'll take Davis Riley.
Love Davis Riley.
All right. And to wrap my squad up here, I have Russell Henley at 7.3K.
Russell Henley's playing good golf.
Two yeah, top 10s, good. 14 out of 15 on his cuts. I know that those are lesser events, but he's my last guy, so I'm kind of more so I'm looking at those fantasy points per game and his average at that price point. So I liked where he stood, so I'm going to use him to round out my squad.
I love it.
I feel like you have a solid squad.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
I think we do.
For sure. I'm excited to see how we play out. I think the three of us are due for a hot week. Someone's due for a dub, for sure.
Oh, it's going to happen this week.
Definitely.
Big money.
All right. Well, as far as our content goes for what's prepared for this episode, boys, that's really going to wrap us up. So,
Yeah, so obviously we always appreciate your guys' listens. If you made it this far, thank you. We love you guys. We've seen your listens. We've noticed you guys. We appreciate it. We love talking about the podcast. We love you guys coming up to us. Just saying, hey, good job, or I listened. It means the world to us. So we appreciate you guys more than anything. And obviously, if you haven't yet, go ahead and check us out on all our social medias: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We'll get back into TikTok the more challenges we do. But other than that, we're all over Facebook, sharing some of the latest sporting news that you may want to get a hold of. So, like I said, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. As far as your host, Nate, co-host Tone, moderator AJ, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Moderator out.
Adios.
Peace, I'm out of here.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.